Hello, and welcome to Moonwise, a monthly podcast featuring conversations with women of power. I'm your host, Dorte Sophie Royal, and in this episode, we bring you my conversation with herbalist and healer Erin Lovell Verinder about working with plant medicine in our current time. We talk about the power of local weeds, the art of foraging and wildcrafting in a respectful way. We discuss nature connection and herbs known to support lungs and the immune system, the importance of rest, and her experience with treating the epidemic of burnout among clients. I'd like to send a big thank you to Hopi Fink, Nicole Gavin, and Emily Jacoby, our newest Patreon subscribers. Thank you all for listening and supporting the show. Your contributions truly make Moonwise possible. Please join us at patreon.com/moonwise, where I'm sharing wellness guides and lots more. And for those of you who've been missing our monthly lunar forecasts with Susan Lipschitz, I'm excited to share that we've teamed up again to offer virtual new moon circles over Zoom. Each gathering features astrology updates, writing prompts, herbal insights, and a guided meditation. The next one will be on the new moon, Tuesday, August 18th, 2020, and you can register for that over at moontent.co. Okay, on with our show. Erin Lovell Verinder is a fully qualified herbalist, nutritionist, and energetic healer who has worked in the healing realms for 21 years. She works deeply in one-to-one sessions to enable clients to bring about profound change for their health and well-being by bridging together herbal medicine, nutritional medicine, energetics, and lifestyle changes to decode health and ultimately to support her clients to heal. She is the author of Plants for the People, A Modern Guide to Plant Medicine. Hi, Erin. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I have your beautiful book right here, and I've been looking through it for several weeks now. It is a gorgeous image on the very front cover of poppy and chamomile, milky oats, red clover. It's just a delight, and it's really like a doorway almost, like, come in to the plants. It just kind of takes your breath, like, ooh, what's in that book?
Thank you. I love that. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's just like, for me, I wanted also the name, you know, being Plants for the People. I really wanted people to feel like an instant connection between the two. Mm-hmm. So a hand holding these beautiful plants felt so literal, but you're right, just like this invitation to come in.
Mm-hmm. And in your book, you say something that I just love, and I want to quote you if I may. And you say, "We exist in a time plagued by separation from nature, riddled with suppressing the wildness within ourselves." So I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about your path back to the wild.
Oh, thank you. That's such a great question. You know, it's been such a gradual thing. It continues to unfold. I'm 38 years young now, and when I really started working in these spaces, these healing spaces, I was 16, sort of going on 17, when I really started finding my way and my calling into these spaces. And when I just look back, you know, in retrospect of those 20-something years, how it's been a continual undoing of what I learned as a child and as a teenager to step into my womanhood, to step into my autonomy, and to step into my wildness. So I think a lot of it, because I was, you know, I was very much like raised, I went to a girls' school, I was raised in the suburbs of Sydney, the most lovely family. I mean, my parents are wonderful, but it's, you know, it was a very sort of structured upbringing. And for me, it's been a continual effort to keep undoing that and to just step outside of those spaces. And the wildness and the way that it's moved through my life and continues to move through my life is really about living in my own truth. And so wildness, I think, means something different to everybody, you know? So I've just been continually dismantling that and continue to dismantle that, and such a potent time to continue to dismantle that, you know, what we're living in.
Totally. And you say this is plant medicine's time to shine. And I couldn't agree more, you know, and I'd love to hear about why you think this is the moment. I mean, it's clear to everyone we're in so much change, so many shifts, obviously a lot of anxiety around health in general with the pandemic and everything. But yeah, how is this for you as an herbalist who's been working on health for so long?
Right. I think, you know, I felt for quite a while this energy drumming up around plant medicine, that it's sort of, you know, coming to the peak, to the forefront for quite some time. And I feel like it's having a renaissance. You know, I feel like that's also been reflected back to me in so many conversations I've had, particularly over the last year or year and a half, that the way that the plants are coming back into people's energy spheres, you know, and into everything, social media, into products, into the way that it's kind of coming forward for people. Books, more books are being, again, I'm seeing a wave now, more herbal medicine books coming, which is so rad, you know, coming out. And for me, I feel like that's just because they are so needed. And they were always needed, but right now more than ever, as we also go through so much internalized change. Like there's so much going on internally and externally. So it's so like endogenous, exogenous. This is all happening within us as it also happens without us. Does that make sense? You know, and I think that plants are such ultimate decoders and changers and supporters. And also the ultimate invitation is to reconnect back to nature within plant medicine. And plants are nature. They're leaves and barks and berries and flowers and roots and rhizomes. It's pure nature energy. And I feel like if we can begin to align ourselves back to the message and the wildness and the purity of nature, it in turn helps the internal landscape and external landscape that we're changing in such a powerful way.
I love that you say plants are Earth's wisdom keepers and the wisest mystics of them all. And I love that, you know, as we become more modernized and cut off from nature and the seasons and the ways that we have, the plants remember, and perhaps they can remind us about who we are.
Yeah, completely. And imagine what the plants have seen, you know, imagine the revolutions the plants have seen. Imagine, you know, the changes the plants have seen, the togetherness, the divide the plants have seen. Imagine, you know, imagine like you think about 100 years ago, you think about, you know, just what society looked like and what the plants were supporting, and then go back another 100 years and go back another 100 years. You know, it's just, they've always been here. And I think for us to lean on them more and to trust their wisdoms and to trust their mysticism, it's really such a gift that we even have that. And we have now, more than ever in many ways, we have so much freedom. It's interesting, more than ever and then less in some ways. I was like, when I caught myself in that, I was like, we have so much freedom. And then in lots of ways, plants are policed, you know, which is another topic. But mm-hmm. we do have a lot of freedom at this point to access plant medicines, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And how amazing that we can.
One of my dear herbal medicine teachers, I don't know if you're familiar with Cami McBride, she really emphasizes that the plants are our ancestors, literally in the sense that they created the environment and the air that we now breathe for, you know, thousands of years before humans were able to be on the planet. So they kind of set the stage. They almost were like, yeah, the cradle upon which we could become humans. And one thing that I like that's emphasized there is that they're also co-evolving with us, that they are also growing and changing and adapting to things as we are. So though we may think a plant like, oh, okay, chamomile is this, that, and the other, it's like not really for us to box them into that, because a chamomile, like a human, could have so many varied facets and also be growing and learning as we are.
Absolutely. I love that. And, you know, it sort of echoes the message through, do you know Robin Wall Kimmerer's work, Breeding Sweetgrass? That book is just like, I just love it so much. But there's a little section where she talks about when we name a plant, we limit it. So when we name it, like it is chamomile, it is good for this, this, and this. We create so many limitations on the plant. And I feel like that ties in with what Cammie's saying as well. And I think also as the plants evolve and change, time evolves and change, their applications and, you know, what they are here for changes. So I believe in that constant evolution of plant medicine. And that's also why I'm so thrilled to be able to write about it and also support other authors and teachers, you know, and mentors who are teaching and sharing and writing about plant medicine right now, because we're all writing about plant medicine right now for the times as well, for right now.
Yeah, it makes me think of, because we're in this time of such rapid change, sometimes when people are making perhaps conventional medicine, we're responding to what's happened in the past. Like we're saying, okay, there was this illness and we're going to try to treat it. But in a way, not to like get it too deep into this, but like in a way, the plants are also reacting in real time. So wouldn't it be amazing to actually be curious about how much the herbs can respond to the illness of the moment?
That's right. Totally. And to just, it's like respecting where it's come from, but also understanding why it's here right now, or, you know, why you would be working with it right now. Because of everything that we know about plants is historical, really. It's, you know, it's all ancient wisdom, but we're bringing it into this modern present time. And we are not the same as somebody was 200 years ago. What's going on right now and the evolution of humanity is so different with all the different facets that we're dealing with right now. Even just social media, the amount of information that we take in. You know, we're in a different level of consciousness. And obviously we've all evolved. We're different. So we respect that past knowledge with great reverence, but we're bringing it into the moment now as it shapeshifts continually.
Sometimes I feel like I'm seeking plant support for the amount of screen time I'm having, or like even just the radio, television, and cell phone waves, or just the information coming through social media. I almost feel like I need to bolster my immune system just to handle that much like electromagnetic frequency or something.
Totally. Totally. That makes so much sense. And yes, for sure. It's just really different types of challenges. Yeah, in so many ways, I'm sure there's so many similar challenges. But I think that in terms of EMFs and the amount of information and having to keep immunity strong and nourish your nervous system and your adrenal system in a way that I believe would have been quite different historically, you know?
I would love to talk about connecting with local plants, as you explain that there's this much loved belief among herbalists that the very plant you may need for your healing process is often within your direct environment. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the message of Plants for the People as well, is like, please start looking in your backyard, looking in your neighborhood, your local areas, because there are so many medicinal plants everywhere. And often we've lost, I think, a lot of confidence in feeling that we could wildcraft or forage, just because honestly, nobody taught us, you know, and it hasn't been something that's been handed down. And obviously it's really important to be focused on plant identification and making sure you're, you know, getting things right when you're about to eat a plant or work with a plant. So I think it, of course, has like deterred a bunch of people to do that. But in all truth, there's medicine everywhere, and learning and being really inquisitive about what's growing around you can be such a incredible process of connection back to nature, but also to the spirits of the plants and the land around you and the bounty right where you stand. Also, I feel that often when you're working with medicines that are growing around you, you're so energetically in tune with the land that you're on. This is your home, you know, for most people. I understand that's a whole nother conversation about belonging, but I mean, you know, where I live right now, you know, I'm in tune with the space that I live, the land that I live on. So what's growing around me is really potent medicine. There's always things growing, particularly weeds. And I say that term lightly. They're plants, but they've been deemed weeds. And they're weeds because they are so smart, and they grow so with such might and fervor, and they're sort of unstoppable. They've got an unstoppable force to them. And around you would find so many medicinal weeds, I believe. even things like dandelion and things like red clover and, you know, farmers' friends. And we up here, it's warm. We get a lot of like goticola and, you know, I mean, you're in the States and I'm in Australia, but there are different things growing, but there are similar things as well. And there's just no limits with the medicines that you can find around you. Truly, there's so many things and many things that you'd think, oh, actually, no, for that I would use this plant. You know, I would use something common like I would use chamomile, let's say. But actually, you might find a plant that's growing around you that has a really similar style of action that you've never learned about, you know. Yeah, there's just so many different types of wild things that create possibilities in your environment.
It's kind of funny too how sometimes if a plant comes to your mind or you curious about it and start thinking about it, then you'll start spotting it everywhere. Like just a couple months ago, I learned about cleavers for the first time. I really hadn't known much about cleavers and hadn't really been introduced. And lo and behold, I find cleavers cropping up in my backyard. I'm like, oh, maybe I didn't notice you before, or maybe you just came.
Amazing. Totally. And cleavers, again, you know, deemed a weed, and they just are amazing because they grow with such might and they're so helpful. And they just, I think, I mean, one of those plants that really persist. And yeah, now that you've identified cleavers, you'll just see cleavers everywhere. That's what happens. And yeah, that often happens to me. Even when I'm talking with a client and I'll mention something, I'll say, I really think it'd be great if you started drinking this nettle tea blend or nettle. And they'll say, oh my goodness. Like so many people have been sending me things about nettle and I was going to buy it at the health food store the other day. And you know, I was going to plant it. And you're like, it just comes into your sphere often. Mm-hmm. It's so fascinating. And a plant will just follow you around until you pay attention often.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about learning and working with herbalism is that before when I would take a walk in the woods, everything was just kind of like tree, shrub, tree, green, like whatever, just landscape, environment. And then once I started to really learn, it became, oh, it's my friend Yarrow and my buddy Cleavers and there's the cedar tree. And suddenly I'm surrounded by friends, allies, helpers. And then from that point, I don't have a real sense of loneliness anymore because anywhere I'm walking, I can find those friends and those beings that I've established relationships with, which is just such a gift.
That's so beautiful. And I really understand and can relate to that. And I also feel like in that beautiful message that you shared, it creates a camaraderie between you and nature and a connection that you're not separate. You're of the same. Mm-hmm. When you feel a sense of belonging, you know, when you feel a sense of knowing and you have a personal story with a place and a tree and a plant and a shrub and those leaves, it creates connection and oneness.
You do talk in your book about burnout as a common issue that you see. And I'm curious to dive in a little bit about, you know, you having treated so many people and worked with them on their health, are there collective trends that you're witnessing right now? Like, are you seeing anxiety or a certain kind of longing among the people that come to you?
So much, truly so much. Oh, where does it, where does it begin? So many things that you see patterns and waves. In truth, the last sort of 7 years of my practice, I think have been so focused on burnout and just that deep fatigue, exhaustion, overload. And that manifests in lots of different ways. There's often a side note of anxiety, a side note of depression. There's often thyroid dysfunction, menstrual irregularities. And most people, I work a lot with women. I work with men too, but I think in these fields, it's always like 95% women generally anyway, that consume these spaces. But yeah, and it's just so there's always, yeah, there's like the thyroid, the menstrual irregularities, depression, anxiety, but the root of it often is a lot of just total overwhelm, fatigue, and a fried nervous system, like a totally fried and frazzled, overloaded nervous system. So I do a lot of deep work with people to reset their health and, you know, reset their bodies and their beings and their energy systems to recover. And it's big, you know, it's a full recalibration of self to come back from some of those spaces.
Yeah, it makes me think of, you talked in the book about an elder whose mentor sent them into nature, belly down on the earth, and with the instructions to stay there until the dirt smelled sweet.
I get shivers. Like, you, I mean, I know I wrote that, but it's someone else said that. And I said, you know, this, I said, this is my, this was passed on to me, you know, and I always get shivers when I say that, or I read it, or you know, hearing you say that. I just feel like everything is in that sentence about healing. Like, everything is encompassed in that sentence, you know?
So in a way, the remedy for the symptoms we're experiencing, whether, you know, there's such a broad range, but particularly in that burnout realm, does sound like that nature connection can be a real grounding and an anchoring and a calming for the nervous system.
And also that sort of the message of, you know, when someone says, go lie down in the dirt, you're like, well, I don't want to lie down in the dirt. You know, like, why would I put my face in the dirt? You know, that doesn't, you know, there's something about that. Why would I do that? But it's like, you lie down and put your face in the dirt until the earth smells sweet, you know, until the dirt smells, until you can smell this, you know, the sweetness of the dirt. And I just feel like that is what healing is, sitting with discomfort until you have a breakthrough. You break down to break through in the discomfort. Mm-hmm. And physical symptoms are so uncomfortable. But often if you can sit with them and listen to them and work with them, you will absolutely be able to find the sweetness.
So it's almost like you've worked through it until you can smell the fertility of new life, or the possibility of.
That's it, the possibility of, yeah.
Wow, that's really powerful.
Thank you. Yes, it is. It is. And my job, you know, as a guide and as a practitioner with people, is to continue to remind people that that's possible as well, mm-hmm. you know, and that's possible, and to continue to cheer people on when they don't see it yet. They don't feel it. They don't smell it. There's no possibility. Mm-hmm. And it takes time sometimes, but when people feel the breakthrough, gosh, it's so powerful. I'm so honored to witness it. It's amazing. And plants really help people do that. Yeah.
And it seems like in the book, what I love about it is that you're emphasizing also making plant medicine. And so, you know, we can go to a clinical herbalist and work with a healer, but there's something about doing things with our own hands and developing that own relationship. Like you say, herbalism is a truly tactile experience. And so, yeah, what are your thoughts around, you know, working with plants directly that's so healing?
Oh, so many things. I mean, for me, I really just wanted to create a book that inspired people to feel capable and to feel able, you know, to really just get in there and take it on themselves and weave it into their everyday lives. I think so much, particularly around the wellness space and around the way that we're taught to work with these kind of elements, is about giving your power away in a lot of ways. And I just wanted to, you know, someone else can do it for you, but it's like, actually herbalism is all about you doing it for yourself. Of course you can see a great clinical herbalist, you know, that's me. I love working with people, and there's absolutely a time and a place for that. But there's so many simple things that can be done yourself, and it's about you taking them on yourself and learning them yourself. And this is how plant medicine has lived on. Really, it's folk medicine in its essence, and it's just medicine that our ancestors had in their kitchens, you know, used when someone was ill, like it's used for longevity, you know, tonic herbs, like these are again, ancient medicines, and all of it's been done in a kitchen. Only, you know, in really a very small point of time has it been done in a someone's practice, you know, has it been done you go and see, of course you go and see the healer. There's always been healers, but many, many things have just been done in everybody's everyday life. So for me, I wanted to remind people and empower people. And even in the title, it's like plants for the people. And the mantra for the book is plants for the people, people for the plants, plants for the people, for the plants. It's about the reciprocity between both and how there's no separation. So for me, it was like, I want to empower you and help empower you to just, you take this on. You make this, you get in there, you experience what it feels like to make a balm and what it feels like to make a poultice. you know, when your little one has eczema, you make a cream and lather them in it. You know, when you've got a sore throat, you make a tea. You know, you don't need to go out and buy something to feel better. You've got the skills in your own home to support yourself. And for me, I feel like that's radical. You know, that's bringing the power back in. And the plants are helping us do that, you know. And so I really wanted to help people make medicines because I think that's really been taken away from us in many ways, our ability to feel that we can make our own medicines.
Right, like that sense that instead of really listening into our bodies that hold so much truth, that kind of mentality of like, oh, just go to an expert and they'll give you a pill and you won't feel it anymore. Wow. And as you're speaking, I'm thinking about, well, we have this concept of food sovereignty, but what about medicine sovereignty? And that seems very powerful.
Absolutely. And like that, for me, that is a lot of the message of Plants of the People, you know, of really like bringing it back in to self, bringing it back into your home, your community, your family, taking care in a way where you're not asking for permission. You're going and just, you know, you're claiming it.
Yeah.
You know, asking permission, I mean, from somebody to make you feel better. Yeah.
Right.
It's great to ask permission from the plants, but, you know, to some, to say, can you fix me? I've got these symptoms. Can you fix me? I absolutely understand there's a time and a place for those, mm-hmm. you know, working with a practitioner, working with a medical practitioner, but there's so many ways that you can just weave them in that are so gentle, the plants, that's what Plants of the People is about.
Especially as a parent, when there are just so many minor little bumps and scrapes and sunburns and things like that, there are so many very common, easy to find herbs, whether in the herb shop or in the backyard. I'm just thinking of plantain right now, which is growing in abundance and in front of my house. And, you know, I had a bee sting the other day and, you know, there was the plantain. And yeah, it is really so empowering to feel like, oh, I have a relationship and I have some connection and knowledge to take care of my family.
I think that it's so powerful, really, truly, I do, because I think it's kind of stepping outside of what we've been taught and what we've been told and what sort of has been sort of indoctrinated in us around being able to care for ourselves and our families in lots of ways.
Well, and I want to, you know, be sure to touch on sort of like responsible wildcrafting and respectful relations with the natural world, as of course, you know, many of us are transplants. Like I've moved around a lot in my life and it takes time and effort and intention to really connect with the land where I'm residing, as it's not the land of my ancestors and my lineage, but that I want to be a responsible and respectful inhabitant and steward of this place. So yeah, I would love to talk with you a bit about that.
Yeah. You know, really it is super important, no matter where you are and if you are connecting with nature, just to be so hyper vigilant about how you approach taking from the land, you know. And I know taking has a lot of negative connotations, but it really is, when you go, you're like, okay, I see. Let's just say, for example, let's talk about plantago, because I have so much plantain here. It's like ribwort. It's just everywhere. A very beautiful, weedy one. You know, if I'm going to go and pick, first of all, there's a few rules. So we want to make sure that you're not picking in a place that's been sprayed with pesticides, or because you're going to, you know, if you're going to make medicines out of those plantain leaves, you're going to basically be taking in whatever's on the leaf. It's, you know, think about a highly sprayed vegetable. It's the same thing as a highly sprayed plant medicine, you know, in the wild. You want to make sure that it's not too close to a road, agricultural areas. You just want to make sure that it looks like a more pristine environment. If you're taking and you're working with a plant, first of all, create a relationship, like go into that space with intention, you know, and really scan, like, how many plants are there? And, you know, if I'm going to wildcraft in this patch, I want to make sure that I'm not taking everything, because you don't need everything, you know, just take what is needed and really have a conversation with the plants and make sure that when you are working with them, you're really just stating your intention, like why you're here, what you're going to make with the plants, you know, like I actually go in and I talk to the plants, you know, I go in and I sort of say, like, I'll compliment them and I'll, you know, I actually have like a conversation, like you're having a relationship with someone, you know, and you're chatting. And I don't know if you, I'm sure you guys do that. You know, when you get and you see a beautiful tree and you say, you're so beautiful, or look at this beautiful plant. You sort of, you're giving them compliments. You're having a connection and a relationship. You know, you wouldn't, it's like, you wouldn't just go into a store and sort of take without, or somebody's like sacred space. Let's say it's a better analogy, and just take without giving something back or without complimenting it or really creating reverence and gentleness. And I think that's the way that we should be wildcrafting. You need to think about leaving a lot of those plants there to create further plant populations. And what else? There's so many rules to wildcrafting. I actually wrote a whole, like a whole sort of chapter on it, because those are just a few little basic things, but I really go in and I go in with intention, and I really go in with, like the vision that I need to be mindful to not over harvest, because I'm not the only one harvesting. And also I want these plants to thrive and survive. So just take what is needed.
Yeah. It makes me think of in North America here, we have United Plant Savers, and they keep a very comprehensive list of plants that are endangered or threatened, or, you know, kind of like fine for wildcrafting at that moment. So it's always good to check a resource like that.
It's in the back of my book.
Oh, everyone get her book, because it's so full of these incredible resources, right? And no, yet I see it now. You have resources for Australia, USA, UK. Amazing.
Just because I you know, I really wanted to put a few key things in where I wanted people to feel, you know, they've got further reading. And I love, I mean, Rosemary Gladstar, what an incredible woman. And she really headed up that United Plant Savers and has been a driving force. And yeah, definitely, particularly in the States, of course, you know, where it's specific for the States, but just use it as a resource, because it's really, really important that we take care of those endangered plants, or those to, you know, potentially in the future, high risk kind of endangered plants as well. And that's why I'm like, it's all about the weeds, guys. Weeds, you know, weeds are the medicines I feel we're meant to be using and working with right now. I really do. Because of where we're at in time, and because now, and more than ever now, and continually, plant medicine is going to keep growing and growing and growing. I really do believe that. So anyone listening who has passion and, you know, has passion and connection to plant medicine, it is our duty to be so conscious and mindful of how we consume it, so it is still present for future generations, really. And so for me, I'm like, it's all about the weeds. That's, you know, and if I can keep teaching and preaching about that, I feel that that's going to be hopefully helpful for people to consider the plants that they choose to work with. So, you know, something that's a little bit more high risk or harder to get, so that needs to be cultivated and you can't harvest it. So you need to, it needs to be cultivated. You either grow it or it's cultivated and bought. You use that in such a small percentage, and you would use your more common weedy plants in a bigger percentage in your practice, or, you know, home practice or clinical practice. That's how I, you know, that's where I'm at and how I consider things as well at this point in time.
So that makes sense. So that if we can incorporate more of our local herbs and weeds into our everyday life, perhaps then there's less of a need or desire to be, say, like importing something rare from China or elsewhere, because we're then just building our overall health and immunity throughout the seasons anyway.
Totally. Yeah.
And a lot of culinary herbs, like I'm just thinking of Cami and how she teaches too, is like, remember your cilantro and your parsley and your ginger, and just like things that, that we've added for flavor to food that also serve all these incredible purposes of helping us digest and warming our bodies and adding vitamins and minerals. So that's such an easy way to start for folks who are just really new to this world, is like, okay, let's look in your spice cabinet.
I mean, honestly, that's like that's the first place I teach people to start as well. It's like in your garden with the weedy ones, and also in your spice cabinet, because, and I talk a lot about it in the book, and I profiled all of the culinary herbs like oregano and thyme and turmeric and ginger, and, you know, because it's so smart how they've also, and Sage, how they've also, Rosemary, just remembering something, how they've also found their ways into our everyday life and to our meals, into our food. And they're all very, very powerful plant medicines, truly. So really learning the medicine of thyme. If you've got a little thyme patch growing, or you can grow some thyme and oregano and rosemary and sage, you've got a little cornucopia of plant medicines in those four plants, you know, growing in your backyard. I grow them all and we cook with them a bunch, but I also use them a lot for teas. So I'll, you know, always be, especially if I'm feeling a little run down, and I do these big clinic days where I talk to people all day. And then often by the end, I'll really feel that very like, whew, like my throat and my throat chakra, like it's a lot, there's a lot going on there. And so I'll drink like a thyme and oregano and fresh lemon tea, very strong kind of infusion. And that would just be for my garden. I literally just throw them in a pot and let them sort of simmer, infuse for like 10 minutes. It's so simple. And it really kind of coats your throat and sort of revives my throat and my vocal cords. And it's just, that's just like little, you know, that's culinary, super simple.
Yeah, I've been putting sprigs of thyme in my family's water, and it looks pretty, so we kind of notice it and remember to drink more. And then also with a lot of the sort of fear and anxiety around our lung health generally collectively on the globe, it's nice to feel like, well, I'm drinking thyme water, so there's got to be something good happening.
Totally. Exactly. Yeah. You're just supercharging that water. And absolutely, I believe, you know, that the benefits of thyme infusing that water would be so helpful right now.
Are there other herbs or practices that you find are really helpful for folks to ground and to heal in this particular moment that is just so unique to human history?
Seriously. Yeah, like the teas are a big one. So teas and infusions and decoctions, I just find them so easy, you know, for people to weave into their everyday. And I always say, don't underestimate the power of a herbal tea, you know, because teas can be so medicinal. The most ancient form of, you know, the way that our ancestors would have given and delivered medicines through water. And they're just easy. People drink tea in their everyday life anyway. But right now I'm encouraging people to make syrups a lot. And, you know, I think really sort of strong lung syrups and immune enhancing syrups can be so helpful when you're dealing with anything immune related as well. Mm-hmm. And lung related. So mucosal tissues and strengthening the immune system. So syrups and oximals can be really lovely. I think they're the main things that I'm suggesting, you know, for people. There's other supplementation elements that I think can be really supportive right now too. But if we stick into plants, I do feel that it's important to fortify your system every day with taking plants in some way, whether it's teas, a syrup, an oximal, taking a nice dose of something that's a little fortifying. And look, also now I'm wearing a woolly jumper as we record this. We're in winter now here, so. You know, it's that time of the year in Australia where we need to fortify our immune systems a little more as well. So I would be saying this anyway, honestly, this season in time. But given what's going on, I think it's important to bring in those immune enhancers and those lung restorers right now as well to keep everything really strong, like tropho restoratives. They restore the systems of the body. Looking at particularly, like, I think of lung herbs like elecampane is such a beautiful lung herb. Yeah, just like restoring the energy. But I also think of, like, when I'm talking about immunity too, I think of, I do think of thyme as being a really strong fortifier. And also looking at the structure of thyme and the way thyme grows, it's like really woody and like strong and dense, you know, and like it looks like it's got a strong spine, you know. And I think that even that kind of doctrine of signatures of the way that a plant looks and how it can apply and what we can take from it just feels like a really fortifying plant. The normal things I think a lot of people take are elderberry, and well, that has been a big controversial plant right now in COVID times. Mm-hmm. I wrote a demystifying elderberry piece. I don't know if you saw it on Instagram, and it went nuts right around the time where there was so much information. It was crazy. I've never had anything go like viral like that. It was nuts. But I just wrote the facts about why I still feel it's a powerful plant to work with right now. because there was a lot of sort of fear going around and isolated concepts of, you know, in response to cytokine responses and viral loads. And I wrote why I still feel it's a really important plant to work with. So immune enhancers, immune supporters, antivirals, really a lot of these herbs, we want to work with them to just strengthen our systems. And I think most of them do that. You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of plants that do that, honestly. And lung tonics, mullein, elecampane, even, you know, pleurisy root. There's a lot of beautiful lung tonics, marshmallow, that can just be super supportive, you know? Yeah, Grindelia. Yeah, there's so many. But it's just thinking about where you're at, what your constituents like, how you're feeling. You know, there isn't a one-size-fits-all approach to prescribing. So you have to be really thinking about how you're feeling within your body and where your energy's at. Is it feeling low? Are you feeling almost like, you know, that feeling when you're feeling run down and tired and you almost know you're going to go catch something, you know, and you've got a little one too. Little one brings home something from other friends or daycare or whatnot. And it's, you know you're on the edge. That's when you have to come in and even support your body more, when you know you're on the edge like that. Mm-hmm. So you've got to listen to your body. It's so wise. It's speaking to you all the time. And that will help you, you know, prescribe plants. Yeah.
I just have to laugh because I just hear Cammy saying, that's when you make yourself a big cup of tea, wrap yourself up and go straight to bed.
Totally. That's so wise.
It's like that grandma wisdom, right? It's just like, all right, nope, you're straight to bed with you.
Seriously. I love that. And how like rarely do you actually do that now? Or does anyone really say to you, go to bed and rest, you know, just go get some rest. And it's because we're in such a doing culture, you know, of always creating and producing and being on. Rest is the biggest thing that's often missing in people's like immune protocols or just protocols of healing. You need to actually rest. And that's a huge thing that I've learned myself. And also I also teach so much because it's the biggest piece. Like you can't out supplement anything. You know, you can't keep taking things and thinking that things are going to shift if you don't allow the fundamental piece of resting and recalibrating your body.
That's a great reminder for all of us, I think.
Right. Right. Totally. I have to remind myself all the time too. You know, I'm an Aries and I just am like, I can be full speed ahead and I had to learn to rest. I really didn't even kind of know how to years back. And when I hit my own adrenal journey and that kind of burnout space, which I did years ago, the biggest piece of me was actually resting. And I took all the things and the plants were so helpful and the nutrition was so helpful and the therapists I saw were so helpful practitioners. But the biggest thing for me, honestly, I laid in my hammock between these two oak trees in my backyard and it was just like one of those beautiful white knitted hammocks and I laid there for hours on end resting. And I honestly feel like that was the biggest piece of my healing, was just laying under those trees.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
May we all have a place to rest when we need it.
I hope that for us all.
Well, we have a little bit of time left and I guess I'm just curious, you know, you've written this beautiful book, it's out in the world and I'm sure you're getting many responses from people in all corners of the world. And do you have any reflections, you know, after having put this out, seeing, you know, that the turn of the world's current state and politics and everything. Yeah, reflections on where you kind of see this work and what feels really potent for you right now.
I mean, seeing the book become other people's, like, how do I say, like, it finds its way from my personal creation and this really quiet space of self-creating to go out into the world. And because it did get an international release, you're right, it's in all places, you know. And so I'm getting people from Italy and people from Scotland and people from America and people from Australia and New Zealand write me messages and send me these beautiful words. It's amazing, you know. It becomes theirs. And that's what the book is about. You know, it was never mine. I'm just a conduit to bring the message forward, right? And I'm just another interpreter, and it becomes yours. And that's an absolute pleasure for me. But to see people actually make medicines from it and be like, I never knew I could do this. And I've had like severe psoriasis, and I made this balm and my psoriasis has totally chilled out. And I've taken cortisone creams for years, and all I didn't realize, I just needed a few plants, you know, like it's nuts. Like these little beautiful messages. It's like that for me is so incredible that the work can create profound change in these kind of waves of how it goes out there. But it's the way that I see it moving and the timing of it coming forward. I got to do all these like release parties in Australia and these events where I got to do signings. I got to hug everyone before COVID. It was, everyone came together. We put on beautiful parties for the book. It was amazing. And then the COVID hit, and I'm meant to be in the States right now, promoting the book, and I couldn't travel. I'm meant to be in the UK to promote the book. Can't do that. And what's been really interesting is I thought I would be really upset about it, but I've been actually so okay and calm about knowing that the book came out in its absolute perfect time and place because of the way that it's being received and being shared. And it's helping people, and people are finding at this time when they've been at home and in their kitchens, they've been, you know, making medicines, and they've been learning about plants, and they've been passing it on to their neighbors and suggesting it and buying it for their mothers. And it's like just watching the way that it's moving naturally in a word of mouth kind of way. I am just so humbled and also just so trusting that this is the perfect time for a book like this to come out. And to be given the opportunity, I'm writing another book, which is really exciting. I just announced it the other day, but I've been sitting on it for months, you know, knowing that it's coming, which is really exciting. But to know that I get to write another one is so thrilling, truly, to be able to keep sharing and keep inspiring people and just also, you know, support other people writing and sharing and teaching. It's so important that we stand in community in this space, and you just keep championing each other and the work. Mm. To, you know, and I just feel really proud of it, and I feel really sure that this is the perfect timing for it to be here. And I wanted to write a book for years, so honestly, it just didn't flow until right now.
Yeah, and as you speak about continuing to champion others, it's almost like there couldn't be too many plant ambassadors on the planet. Like there's just room for so many and of different backgrounds, of people with different approaches. It's like, yes, please to all.
Yes, please to all. And what I love is that, you know, we have different, of course, backgrounds and nuances and training and countries we're from, but we're all essentially saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I love that so much. You know, I love that I can just stumble upon someone's profile and they're a herbalist in the UK, and their message is the same. Mm-hmm. And it is all about reconnecting back to nature, to the profound bounty of nature and wisdoms that we have simply just forgot. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think how beautiful that we keep hearing that message over and over again, because if we keep hearing it over and over again, someone hears it from this person, from that person, we're going to actually listen and remember, you know, we're going to go, there's really something to that, you know? Mm-hmm. There's something to that herbalism is not about in a brown bottle or not about in a little pill bottle on a shelf of a store. That's a facet of herbalism, you know, and it can be really helpful. But there's a whole ethos. It's a whole way of life. It's like a practice, you know. Ethos really encompasses it, doesn't it? It's a way of life, a way to walk in the world.
Mm. Well, as we're wrapping up, I'm wondering, is there anything else that you would like people to know about plants or healing or your work in particular?
Okay. I feel like we could talk for hours about this. I just think I mean, right now there's so much going on, and I do feel like that the way that plant medicine can help show up for us to stabilize our nervous systems, to nourish our nervous systems, our adrenal systems, our endocrine systems, that are going to be really responsive to stress, to change. And if we can really nourish those elements, we'll be able to show up better, to really enact profound change, to support others, to share others' messages, to find our own voices, and to keep moving forward in this revolutionary time as activists, as carers, you know, as you know, in solidarity with others who are doing incredible work. We can stand next to them. We can lead the revolution. There's so much we can do, but we need to be fortified first. So I do feel like now is the time to work with your nervous system nourishers, you know, to work with those herbs that are just very, very nourishing, those adrenally supportive herbs. Plants really are there to help you lean on them and to support you as well. So I think it's a powerful time to really dive into herbalism so we can show up.
I so agree. For those who want to find out more about your work and the book, where can we find you online?
It's my name, which is a really long name. So let me spell it for you. It's erinlovellverinder.com. So it's Erin Lovell Verinder. And that's my name on Instagram as well. And that's where everything is online. You can learn all about the book, working with me, sign up for the newsletter, my little plant community, you know, all the things right there.
Well, I really encourage everyone to check out Plants for the People, A Modern Guide to Plant Medicine, and check out Erin online. This work is just so beautiful, and I can't wait to just really treasure this book and the beautiful images and descriptions and thoughts that you're sharing with the world for many years to come, and can't wait for the second book as well. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been lovely. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. You can hear other episodes on moontent.co or subscribe to the Moonwise podcast on iTunes or Spotify. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate us on iTunes and leave a review. You can also leave a comment on the Moonwise Sisterhood group in Facebook. Our theme music is by Sophie Cooper from her album Rewilding. You can find her online at voicealchemy.com. See you next time. Whoa.